Further teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Chapter 35, South India, Episode 6, Venkatabhata. One Vaishnava known as Venkatabhata then invited Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home with great respect. And after he washed the Lord's feet, all the members of his family drank that water. After offering lunch to Lord Chaitanya, Venkatabhata submitted that the period of Chaturmasya had already arrived. "My Lord, please be merciful to me and stay at my house during the Chaturmasya period. Speak about Lord Krishna's pastimes and thus kindly deliver me by your mercy." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained at the house of Venkatabhata for 4 continuous months. Lord Chaitanya passed his days in great happiness, enjoying the transcendental mellow of discussing Lord Krishna's pastimes. And while there, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took bath in the river Kaveri and visited the temple of Sri Ranga. Every day, Lord Chaitanya also danced in ecstasy. The beauty of Lord Chaitanya's body and his ecstatic love of God were witnessed by everyone. Many people used to come to see Lord Chaitanya, and as soon as they saw Lord Chaitanya, all their unhappiness and distress vanished. Many hundreds of thousands of people from various countries came to see Lord Chaitanya, and after seeing Lord Chaitanya, they all chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and they did not chant anything but the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and all of them became devotees of Lord Krishna. Thus, the general populace was astonished. All the Vaishnava Brahmanas residing in Sri Ranga Kshetra invited Lord Chaitanya to their homes. As such, Lord Chaitanya had an invitation every day. Every day, Lord Chaitanya was invited by a different Brahmana, and some of the Brahmanas did not get the opportunity to offer Lord Chaitanya lunch because the period of Chaturmasya came to an end. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained at the house of Venkatabhata and constantly talked with him about Lord Krishna. And in this way, Venkatabhata was very happy. Being a Vaishnava in the Ramanuja Sampradaya, Venkatabhata worshipped the deities of Lakshmi and Narayan. Seeing his pure devotion, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very much satisfied. Constantly associating with each other, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Venkatabhata gradually developed a friendly relationship. Therefore, sometimes they laughed and joked together. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu once told the Bhatta Acharya, "Your worshipable goddess of fortune, Lakshmiji, always remains on the chest of Lord Narayana, and Lakshmi is certainly the most chaste woman in the entire creation. However, my lord is Sri Krishna, a cowherder boy, and Krishna is engaged in tending cows. So how is it that Lakshmi, being such a chaste wife, wants to associate with my lord Krishna? Why, just to associate with Krishna, Lakshmiji abandoned all transcendental happiness in Vaikuntha and for a long time accepted vows and regulative principles and performing unlimited austerities. Kasyanu bhavosya nadeva vidmahe tavangri renu sparashadikara yad vancha ya shrir lalanacharattapo Vihaya kaman suchi rang dritta brata. O Lord, we do not know how the serpent Kaliya attained such an opportunity as to be touched by the dust of your lotus feet. Why, even the goddess of fortune for this end performed austerities for centuries, giving up all other desires and observing austere vows. We do not know, therefore, how this serpent Kaliya got such an opportunity. Venkatamata then said, Lord Krishna and Lord Narayana are one and the same, but the pastimes of Krishna are more relishable due to their sportive nature. So since Krishna and Narayan are the same personality, Lakshmiji's association with Krishna does not break her vow of chastity. Rather, it was in great fun that the goddess of fortune wanted to associate with Lord Krishna. Siddhantatastu abhedeti Shrisha Krishna Swarupayo Raseno Krishyate Krishna Rupam Esha Rasastitihi. According to transcendental realization, there is no difference between the forms of Narayana and Krishna. And yet in Krishna, there is a special transcendental attraction due to the conjugal mellow, and consequently, Krishna surpasses Narayana. This is the conclusion of transcendental mellows. The goddess of fortune considered that her vow of chastity would not be damaged by her relationship with Krishna. Rather, by associating with Krishna, Lakshmiji could enjoy the benefit of the rasa dance. Mother Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, is also an enjoyer of transcendental bliss. So therefore, if she wanted to enjoy herself with Krishna, what is the fault there? Why are you joking about this? Lord Chaitanya then replied, Yes, I know that there is no fault on the part of the goddess of fortune, but still, Lakshmi could not enter into the rasa dance. We hear this from the revealed scriptures. Nayang shriyonga u nitanta rate prasadaha svaryoshitang nalina gandha ruchang kutonya rasot savesya mujadanda grihita kanta labdashishamya udagad vraja sundarinam. When Lord Sri Krishna was dancing with the gopis in the Rasa Leela, Krishna put his arms around their necks and embraced the gopis. This transcendental favor was never bestowed upon the goddess of fortune or the other consorts in the spiritual world, and nor was such a thing ever imagined by the most beautiful girls in the heavenly planets. Girls whose bodily luster and aroma exactly resemble the lotus flower. And what to speak of worldly women who may be very, very beautiful according to material estimation. So, my dear Venkatabhata, can you tell me why the goddess of fortune Lakshmi could not enter the rasa dance? The authorities of Vedic knowledge could enter the rasa dance and thus associate with Krishna. Nibritta marun manoksha vridha yoga yujjo hridiyan munaya upasate tad arayopi yayu smaranat striya uragendra bhoga bhuja danda vishakta diho vayam apite sama samadrishyongri saroja sudha. Great sages conquer the mind and senses by practicing the mystic yoga system and controlling the breath. Thus engaging in mystic yoga, they see the supersoul within their hearts and ultimately enter into impersonal Brahman. But even the enemies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead attain that same position simply by thinking of the Supreme Lord. However, the damsels of Braja, the gopis, being attracted by the beauty of Krishna, simply wanted to embrace Krishna and Krishna's arms, which are like serpents. Thus, the gopis ultimately tasted the nectar of the lotus feet of Krishna. And so similarly, we Upanishads can also taste the nectar of Krishna's lotus feet only by following in the footsteps of the gopis. Now, having been asked by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu why the goddess of fortune could not enter into the rasa dance, whereas the authorities on Vedic knowledge could, Venkatabhatta then replied, "I cannot enter into the mysteries of this behavior. I am an ordinary human being. So since my intelligence is very much limited, and I am easily agitated, my mind cannot enter within the deep ocean of the pastimes of the Lord. But you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna Himself. You know the purpose of your activities, and the person whom you enlighten can also understand your pastimes. My dear Venkat, Lord Krishna has a special characteristic, for Krishna attracts everyone's heart by the mellow of his personal conjugal love. So by following in the footsteps of the inhabitants of the planet known as Vrajaloka or Goloka Vrindavan, one can attain the shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. However, in that planet, the inhabitants do not know that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There, someone may accept Krishna as a son, and sometimes bind Krishna to a grinding mortar. Someone else may accept Krishna as an intimate friend, and attaining victory over Krishna, playfully mount Krishna's shoulders. The inhabitants of Rajabhumi know Krishna as the son of Maharaj Nanda, who is the king of Rajabhumi, and they consider that they can have no relationship with Krishna in the rasa of opulence. One who worships Krishna by following in the footsteps of the inhabitants of Rajabhumi attains Krishna in that transcendental planet of Raja, where Krishna is known as the son of Maharaj Nanda. Nayang Sukapo Bhagavan, Dehinang Gopika Suta, Jnaninang Chatma Bhutanang, Yapa Bhakti Matam Iha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, the son of Mother Yashoda, is accessible to those devotees engaged in spontaneous loving service. But Krishna is not as easily accessible to the mental speculators, to those striving for self-realization by severe austerities and penances, or to those who consider the body exactly as oneself. The authorities in the Vedic literature, who are known as the Sruti Gana, worship Lord Krishna in the ecstasy of the gopis and followed in their footsteps. Those personified authorities on the Vedic hymns acquired bodies like those of the gopis and thus took birth in Brajabhumi. And in those bodies, they were allowed to enter into Krishna's Rasalila dance. Lord Krishna belongs to the cowherder community, and the gopis are the dearmost lovers of Krishna. Although the wives of the denizens of the heavenly planets are most opulent within the material world, neither they nor any other women in the material universe can acquire Krishna's association. The goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, wanted to enjoy Krishna and at the same time retain her spiritual body in the form of Lakshmi. However, Lakshmi did not follow in the footsteps of the gopis in her worship of Krishna. Srila Vyasadeva, the supreme authority on Vedic literature, composed the verse beginning, "Nayang Sukapo Bhagavan,"
because no one can enter into the Rasa Leela dance in any body other than that of a gopi. And so, my dear Venkatabhatta, please do not continue doubting that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for this is the conclusion of the Vedic literature. Lord Narayana, the opulent form of Krishna, attracts the minds of the goddess of fortune and her followers. Ete changsha kala pungsa, Krishnastu bhagavan swayam, indrari vyakulam lokam, mridayanti yuge yuge. All these incarnations of Godhead are either plenary portions or parts of the plenary portions of the Purusha avatars. But Krishna is the original, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. In every age, Krishna protects the world through His different features when the world is disturbed by the enemies of Indra. Because Krishna has four extraordinary qualities which are not possessed by Lord Narayana, the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, always desires Krishna's company. Lord Narayana has 60 transcendental qualities. Over and above these, Krishna has four extraordinary transcendental qualities which are absent in Lord Narayana. These four qualities are: 1, Krishna's wonderful pastimes which are compared to an ocean. 2, Krishna's association in the circle of supreme devotees who are in conjugal love, namely the gopis. 3, Krishna's playing on the flute whose vibration attracts the three worlds. And finally, Krishna's extraordinary beauty, which surpasses the beauty of the three worlds. Indeed, Lord Krishna's beauty is unequaled and unsurpassed. You have recited the shloka beginning with the words Siddhantatastu Abhedeti, and that very verse is the evidence that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For that verse says, according to transcendental realization, there is no difference between the forms of Krishna and Narayana. And yet in Krishna, there is a special transcendental attraction due to the mellow of conjugal love. And consequently, Krishna surpasses Narayana. And this is the conclusion of transcendental mellows. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna attracts the mind of the goddess of fortune. But Lord Narayan cannot attract the minds of the gopis. So this proves the super excellence of Krishna. To say nothing of Lord Narayana personally, Lord Krishna once himself appeared as Narayan just to play a joke on the gopis. And although Krishna assumed the four-armed form of Narayana, still he could not attract the serious attention of the gopis in ecstatic love. Kindly listen to the following episode. Once, Lord Sri Krishna playfully manifest himself as Narayana with four victorious hands and a very beautiful form. When the gopis saw this exalted form, however, their ecstatic feelings were crippled. Therefore, a learned scholar cannot understand the gopis' ecstatic feelings, which are firmly fixed upon the original form of Lord Krishna as the son of Nanda Maharaj. The wonderful feelings of the gopis in ecstatic paramarasa with Krishna constitutes the greatest mystery in spiritual life. And so in this way, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu deflated the pride of Venkatabhata. But just to make him happy once again, Lord Chaitanya spoke as follows. But actually, whatever I have said is by way of jest. So now you can hear from me the conclusion of the Shastras, in which every Vaishnava devotee has firm faith. For there is no difference between Lord Krishna and Lord Narayan. They are of the same form. Similarly, there is no difference between the gopis and the goddesses of fortune, for they are also of the same form. The goddess of fortune enjoys the association of Krishna through the gopis. So one should not see a difference between the forms of the Lord, for such a conception is offensive. There is no difference between the transcendental forms of the Lord. Different forms are manifest due to different attachments of different devotees. Actually, the Lord is one, but he appears in different forms just to satisfy his devotees. O my Lord, I am but an ordinary fallen living entity, while you are Krishna himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These transcendental pastimes of the Lord are unfathomable, and I do not know anything about them. So whatever you say, I accept as the truth. I have been engaged in the service of Lakshmi Narayan, and it is due to their mercy that I have been able to see your lotus feet. And out of your causeless mercy, you have told me of the glories of Lord Krishna. No one can reach the end of the opulence, qualities, and forms of the Lord. I can now understand that devotional service unto Lord Krishna is the supreme form of worship. Out of your causeless mercy, you have made my life successful simply by explaining the facts. After saying this, Venkatabhata fell down before the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya, out of his causeless mercy, embraced Venkatabhata. And when the period of Chaturmasya was complete, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took permission to leave Venkatabhata, and after visiting Sri Ranga, Lord Chaitanya proceeded further towards southern India. Venkatabhata did not want to return home, for he also wanted to go with Lord Chaitanya. And so it was with great endeavor that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bade Venkatabhata farewell. And when Lord Chaitanya did so, Venkatabhata fell down unconscious. Such are the pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the son of Mother Shachi, at Sri Ranga Kshetra. The following are purports on this section by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sri Venkatabhata was a Vaishnava Brahmana and an inhabitant of Sri Ranga Kshetra. Venkatabhata belonged to the disciplic succession of Sri Ramanuja Acharya. Sri Rangam is one of the places of pilgrimage in the province of Tamil Nadu. However, the inhabitants of that province do not retain the name Venkata. It is therefore supposed that Venkatabhata did not belong to that province, although he may have been residing there for a very long time. Venkatabhata was in a branch of the Ramanuja Sampradaya known as Badagalai. Venkatabhata had a brother in the Ramanuja Sampradaya known as Sripad Prabodhananda Saraswati. The son of Venkatabhata was later known in the Gaudiya Sampradaya as Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and it was he who established the Radharaman temple in Vrindavan. More information about him may be found in a book known as Bhakti Ratnakara by Narahari Chakravarti. The answer to Lord Chaitanya's question helps us to understand that Venkatabhatta knew the truth. Venkatabhatta told Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Narayan is a form of Krishna associated with transcendental opulence. Although Krishna is two-armed and Narayan is four-armed, there is no difference in the person, for they are one and the same. Narayan is almost as beautiful as Krishna, and Krishna's pastimes are more sportive. It is not that the sportive pastimes of Krishna make Krishna different from Narayan. And so, Lakshmi's desiring to associate with Krishna was perfectly natural. In other words, it is understandable that a chaste woman wants to associate with her husband in all of his different dresses. Thus, one should not criticize Lakshmiji for wanting to associate with Krishna. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna and his pastimes cannot be understood by blunt material senses. One has to purify the senses by rendering transcendental loving service unto the Lord. And when the Lord is pleased and reveals himself, then one can understand the transcendental form, name, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord. This is confirmed in the Katha Upanishad and in the Mundaka Upanishad. Yam evaisha vrinute tena labhyas tas yaisha atma vivrinute tanum swam. Anyone who is favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead can understand Krishna's transcendental name, qualities, form, and pastimes. The inhabitants of Brajabhumi or Goloka Vrindavan know Krishna as the son of Maharaj Nanda. They do not accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead as people in general do. Krishna is the supreme maintainer of everyone and the chief personality among all personalities. In Brajabhumi, Krishna is the central point of love. But no one knows Krishna there as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rather, a person may know Krishna as a friend, son, lover, or master. But in any case, the center is Krishna. The inhabitants of Brajabhumi are related to Krishna in servitude, friendship, parental love, and conjugal love. A person engaged in devotional service may accept any one of these transcendental relationships, which are known as mellows. When such a person reaches the perfectional stage, one returns home, back to Krishna, in one's pure, original, spiritual identity. The authorities in the Vedic literature, known as the Sruti Gana, desired to enter into Lord Sri Krishna's rasa dance. Therefore, they began to worship Krishna in the ecstasy of the gopis. In the beginning, however, they were unsuccessful. When they could not enter the rasa dance simply by thinking of Krishna in the ecstasy of the gopis, they actually accepted bodies like those of the gopis. They even took birth in Brajabhumi just like the gopis, and consequently became engrossed in the ecstasy of the gopis' love. In this way, the Shruti Gana were allowed to enter into the Rasalila dance of Lord Sri Krishna. Yanti deva vrata devan, patrin yanti pitr vrata, bhutani yanti bhuteja, yanti mad yajino pimam. Those who worship demigods will take birth among demigods. Those who worship ancestors will go to the ancestors. Those who worship ghosts and spirits will also take birth among such beings. And those who worship me, Krishna, will live with me. In the material world, every conditioned soul changes his or her material body again and again. But when the spirit soul is purified of all material coverings, then there is no longer a chance of one's accepting a material body. Such a soul then remains in one's original spiritual identity, a state which is possible to achieve only by understanding Krishna in truth through the practice of Krishna consciousness. As Krishna says in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Janma karma chame divyam evang yo veti tatvatah chakva dehang punar janma naiti mam eti sorjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take birth again in this material world, but rather attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Only when one regains one's original spiritual body can one enter into the spiritual kingdom. As far as the Rasa-lila pastimes of Krishna are concerned, it is futile for one who is within the material world to attempt to imitate the dancing of Krishna. One has to attain a spiritual body like that of a gopi in order to enter into the pastimes of the Rasa-lila. In the Nayang Sukapo verse, devotees are referred to as bhakti-mat, that is, they are fully engaged in devotional service and are devoid of material contamination. One cannot enter into Krishna's Rasa-lila dance simply by artificially imitating it or artificially thinking oneself to be a sakhi and dressing up like one. No, Krishna's Rasa-lila dance is completely spiritual. It has nothing to do with material contamination. Therefore, no one can enter into this pastime by artificial material means. That is the instruction of the Nayang Sukapo verse, and it must be strictly understood. Before this explanation was given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Venkata Bhatta thought that Sri Narayana was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thinking in this way, Venkata Bhatta believed that worship of Narayana was the supreme form of worship, superior to all other processes of devotional service, for it was followed by the Sri Vaishnava disciples of Ramanuja Acharya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had understood this misconception of Venkata Bhatta's, and so to correct it, Lord Chaitanya talked so much in a joking way. In the Brahma Samhita, it is stated, Advaitam Achyutam Anadim Anantarupam Adyang Purana Purusham Navayovanam Cha. Krishna is Advaita, without differentiation. There is no difference between the forms of Krishna, Rama, Narayana, and Vishnu. All of them are one. Sometimes, foolish people ask, when we chant the name Rama in the Hare Krishna mantra, that are we referring to Lord Ramachandra or Lord Balaram? If a devotee says that the name Rama in the Hare Krishna mantra refers to Balaram, a foolish person may become angry because to him the name Rama must refer to Lord Ramachandra. Although there is no difference between Balaram and Lord Rama, it does not matter if one chants Hare Rama referring to Balaram or Lord Ramachandra, for there is no difference between them. However, it is offensive to think that Balaram is superior to Lord Ramachandra, or vice versa. Such neophyte devotees do not understand this Shastric conclusion, and so they unnecessarily create an offensive situation. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu clarified this in a very lucid way. Ishparatve Veda Manile Hai Aparadha. It is offensive for one to differentiate between the forms of the Lord. On the other hand, one should not think that the forms of the Lord are exactly like the forms of the demigods. This also is certainly offensive, as confirmed by the Vaishnava Tantra, Yastu Narayanam Devam Brahma Rudradi Daivatai Samatvenaiva Viksheta Sa Pashandi Bhaved Dhruvam. A Pashandi is one who considers the great demigods, even up to Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, to be equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana. The conclusion is that we should neither differentiate between the forms of the Lord, nor equate the forms of the Lord with the forms of the demigods or human beings. For instance, sometimes foolish sannyasis, thinking the body of the Lord to be material, equate the Rudra Narayana with Narayana himself. And this is certainly most offensive. Unless one is instructed by a bona fide spiritual master, one cannot perfectly understand all these different forms. The Brahma Samhita confirms Vedeshu Durlabham Adurlabham Atma Bhaktau. One cannot understand the differences between the forms of the Lord simply by academic study or by reading Vedic literature. One must learn from a realized devotee. Only then can one learn how to distinguish between one form of the Lord and another. One must understand that there is no difference between the forms of the Lord, but that there is a difference between the forms of Krishna and those of the demigods. Manir yatha vibhagena nilapitadibir yutaha rupa bhedam avapnoti dhyana bhedat tata chyutaha. When the jewel known as Vaidurya touches various other materials, it appears to be separated into different colors, and consequently its form also appears differently. Similarly, according to the meditational ecstasy of the devotee, Krishna, who is known as Achyuta, the infallible, appears in different forms, although Krishna is essentially one. So this is the way to understand the truth about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After hearing Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna said very much the same thing. Sarvam etad ritang manye yan mang vadasi keshava nahi te bhagavan vyakting vidur deva na danava. O Krishna, I totally accept as truth all that you have told me. For neither the demigods nor the demons, O Lord, can understand your personality. It is not possible to understand the truth about the pastimes of the Lord simply by using our own logic, argument, and academic education. We must receive bona fide information from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just as Arjuna received information when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. We have to accept Bhagavad Gita or any other Vedic literature in good faith. These Vedic scriptures are the only source of knowledge about the Lord. We must understand that we cannot comprehend the absolute truth by the speculative process. Re- recorded January 19, 2022 by Nirantara Dasa. All glories to the ISKCON founder Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Om Tat Sat.